Really helpful to have Matthew 25 open in front of us this morning. We'll have it on the screen for you as well, but really good to have that in front of us. My little sister is getting married this summer, and that means wedding planning, and wedding planning means stress, lots of it. She's realized that her to-do list is never-ending. She's discovered that every detail is down to her. She now knows that these weddings are about more than one day. She has so much preparation to do that her head is constantly spinning. And it's not like she can relax once the big day arrives. There'll still be plenty on the day to look after and lots of making sure everything is just right. Oh, and by the way, you might have heard, it costs a lot of money to get married. The date's on the calendar, it's coming up fast. She and all her guests need to be ready on time. Now, Jesus has been speaking for a while now in Matthew's gospel about being prepared. There's no time this morning to go through it all, but even if you casually glance backwards from Matthew 25, you would see Jesus talking about his unexpected return. You would see him talk about the need to work and live in a way that expects him. And then we get to this parable about being ready, all about this picture of a wedding. The parable is set around a wedding, but it's not really about that. For instance, if you were to look at Matthew 25 very briefly, you would see no bride in this story. So what's it about? And what on earth does an old story like this have to do with you and me? Well, the first thing to say is that everyone has to get ready. In Jesus' day, there were lots of little wedding customs. We maybe don't recognize this meeting of the groom by the bridesmaids because we tend to separate hens and stags, don't we? But maybe we are a little bit more aware of the late night or midnight procession through the streets on the way back home. Not in North Down, of course. And it's this nighttime procession that requires the lamp or a torch. In fact, we're thinking about the kind of thing that Indiana Jones would have carried into some cave or some crypt. It's a stick with a rag on it. It's been dipped in oil, and it has to stay lit. And it's that dipping of the rag in the oil that starts the story off. And this is where we might start to notice that it's not so much about a wedding as it is about being wise and being ready. It says, and I've changed this to torches, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their torches and went out to meet the bridegroom. Here it is, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise, and we know why. If you're wise, you take a bit of oil in a jar as well as your torch. Now, I've no plans to bring a torch or a jar of oil to my sister's wedding. So what is this? What does this really mean? Well, it's about getting ready for Jesus' return because we can link him to this bridegroom. We can do that really easily if we get a good sense of our whole Bibles. Here's a couple. You'll notice the key words here. We've got a delay on these screens, bear with me. Your maker is your husband. Do you see that? He is the husband, the bridegroom. He's going to come and get his bride. Or a young man marries a young woman. The builder, God, will marry you as a bridegroom. There it is again. This one mentions a covenant near the bottom. That's a marriage covenant, like a marriage, making vows to one another. One more. I will betroth you to me forever. God talks in the language of weddings. He talks about the church as his bride and his son as the bridegroom. So it's not really about a wedding. It's about waiting for the bridegroom, waiting for Jesus. In the church, we would say that means being a Christian. That shouldn't shock us. But lots of people get stuck there because it's not just about being or becoming a Christian, but staying in that state. It's not just about getting ready, but staying ready. And that means we have to plan ahead. Part of weddings that everyone hates is hanging around, isn't it? Wedding days have lots of opportunities for waiting or hanging around. Maybe you have to wait for the bride. I'm not sure what you think is too late. 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 40 minutes? My dad drives for a well-known Belfast wedding limousine car company on his part-time. He once waited outside the house for a bride for 1 hour and 20 minutes, and the church was 25 minutes away. Now, I'd say I, as the minister, would not have been pleased with that. Can you imagine the guests? Nearly 2 hours. Then you get to the venue. Oh, I should say, by the way, Joanne was early for our wedding. Then you get to the venue and you're waiting again because the photos have to be taken, don't they? All these photos, you're waiting around. And then that can delay the speeches and the dinner, and then the room has to be changed over for the evening reception and the evening guests. So listen, I have a wedding to go to this August. I plan to do some waiting around. I am going to plan ahead for the delays. I'm expecting them all through the day. And you know, that is the heart of wisdom in this parable. The wise aren't wise because they brought extra oil. I'll say that again to you. The wise aren't wise because they brought extra oil. The wise are wise because they expected the delay. It says that the groom was a long time in coming. They all have their torch. They all fall asleep and they doze, but only half of them wake up and are able to trim and re-dip their lamps. The cry goes out at midnight. The bridegroom is here. They wake up, they trim their torches, but look at the foolish. They don't have enough. Remember, it's not about a wedding. It's not about torches. It's not about extra oil. It's about planning ahead. And it's about planning ahead for Jesus' return. He's the bridegroom. We've already established that. But look again at when he comes at midnight. Now, you might think, okay, he's really late. Imagine waiting in a church till midnight. But again, if we have a little bit of our Bibles in our minds, midnight is a very common little nod, little wink to the end of time. And also a new beginning. Midnight's a kind of code word in this parable. Let me try and show you that very, very quickly. If you go back to Moses, for example, look what it says. About midnight, God says, I will go through Egypt. That's about judgment and the salvation of the Jews, an end and a beginning. Or this one. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks. Do you see that? A new start, a new day, a fresh beginning. This one from Amos 5, a little bit less well known. He who made the stars, the Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn, an end and a beginning, darkness and light. And this one, Paul and Silas in prison. When do they escape? When does the earth shake? Midnight. These aren't accidental. Thanks, David. So where does midnight, Jesus' midnight, fit into our planning ahead? That's the question. Big question. And if we make that plan, then everyone has to stay ready. We get ready. We live in the delay. We're being prepared. We're being alert. And it has to be each of us. I can't be prepared for you. I can't transfer my readiness to you, and you can't give me yours. That's as clear as day in this parable. What do the foolish ones say? Give us some of your oil. And they're told, no, there's not enough. Everyone has to get ready, plan ahead, and stay ready. Not for weddings, not for rainy days, not for recessions, or even the next pandemic, but ready for the ultimate wedding and the ultimate bridegroom, who tells us so clearly at the end of this parable, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Shall I pray for us? Let me pray. Father, we are reminded that we are not our own, but we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus. He has paid for our sins. That cost him his blood, and he has set us free. And he watches over us in such a way that not even a hair from our heads can fall without the will of our Father in heaven. Father, because we belong to him, Jesus, his Holy Spirit assures us of eternal life and should make us willing and ready from here until the day we see him. Father, these are difficult thoughts. We might think them this morning and be scared, but we pray you would turn our fear to faith. Father, help us believe and be ready and to look forward to seeing Jesus. May that be so, even as we pray in his name. Amen.